Luke chapter 11. Would you turn there with me, please? Luke chapter 11. I want to read from verse 9 to verse 13. This is one of those vitamin C verses. This is one of those things that when it gets a hold of you, you just know that there's something here that it's pivotal. And you find yourself saying, could it be? Is that right? Is that the truth? Is that the honest truth? Is Luke chapter 11, is that promise that the Lord asks? Then I said, if it is, we need to lay hold of it. And so let me read the text, and then we'll comment on it. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, in comparison, of course, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I find myself, this has over the years, but even today, this very morning here that I'm standing in front of you, it's got a hold of me. It's one of those unbelievable verses that you say, is that true? Is that right? Is that how it works? Is it that simple? He said, everyone who asks, how much, he said, you will receive. What a confidence builder. What a powerful verse that is. That the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Not one exception, but you have to ask. That's how wonderful this. This can, you know, if that's true, wouldn't we want to, not maybe to directly approach everybody, but indirectly say, number one, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And number two, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? And why? Because all you have to do is ask. He's that willing to give to you the Holy Spirit simply because you asked. Well, you can imagine how if that became your motto in life, saying, I'm going to make sure, number one, that everybody who I interact with, at least lead them to that point where they've accepted Jesus as eternal Savior. But that second part, that you've experienced Jesus as baptizer, the one who baptizes you with the Spirit, that's that other part. It's not optional. In my mind, it's crucial to have a Spirit-filled life. You must be baptized in the Spirit. And this is the Lord's great desire of knocking, of seeking, of asking. And we simply come as paupers. We've got nothing to offer. We've just ourselves, right? And we say, here I am. This is me, Lord. And I'm asking. And I'm asking. And on the basis, well, let's talk about what that would be. The secret, I think, this is a secret. The secret is a dogged determination to take God at His word. Not to argue with Him, not to find a verse that cancels this verse or that one, but simply to take God at His word, to say, Lord, I'm taking You at Your word. That if I come to approach You and I ask, then I'm anticipating that I will receive. And also to pray for somebody else, that would be true as well. So we claim by faith. That's simply that. We claim by faith this wonderful gift from God on one authority, on the authority of Jesus, who told us that how much more will He give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? if a father would care about his children, he said, this is just that certain that I would give you all that you need in terms of the Holy Spirit. And so we have this great confidence. I think it is a great confidence to pray with people and to introduce them to the things of the Spirit. Not just salvation. That's my point. Not just salvation. Salvation is only part of it. The other part of it is Holy Spirit control. That the Lord wants us to minister to people that they might be filled with the Spirit and alive in the Spirit so that they can have a vibrant life, a powerful life, and stay effervescent. See, one of the major reasons for being baptized in the Spirit, and I can speak for my own life, it keeps me effervescent. Right? It keeps me bubbling over. That's what it does. That's one of the advantages. Not just to check it off on your list, right? Oh, yes, born again, baptized in water, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's because I need the power of God, and I want to stay. I want to put my pipe down deep into the artesian well. And so it spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and overflow. And that's one of the side effects is that when God touches us and fills us, it keeps us fresh. I can argue where you want whether people receive everything at salvation or if they receive something later. I don't like go there anymore. I fought those battles for years. The people saying, "Well, you know, this is," and I say, "Listen, I don't care how you get the Holy Spirit. Just get him. You know, just get him. You need it in your life. I need it in my life." And the invitation is so, he says, come. You just come. And because, and if you ask, I will give you. So I see just two great gifts. I haven't always seen it this way, but I caught it. At least to me, it's revelation. It's just to say, wow, that's wonderful. Yeah, there are two great gifts. Number one, the gift of eternal salvation. That's a free gift. Undeserving people. Oh, and by the way, I think at that point I want to read this article that I put in the bulletin. It might be for some, you might the only thing this is an actual, it's in your bulletin. Have you seen that? We got to make sure everybody looks at it. It's a lot of work. Oh, I don't even read it. So now you're going to read it. I remember that one time in church, I said, "Let's hold up our bulletins. I, in a right mind, promise to read the bulletin." Remember that? I remember that, Marty. One of the Holy Spirit's ministries is to make us absolutely sure. Sure that we are sinners. Sure that we need a Savior. The Bible declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And everyone in the world, you, me, all of us, without exception, and for that reason, everyone needs a Savior. We don't do people any favors by telling them they are good people and only need to correct a few errors in poor judgment. The so-called Christian churches that teach that we already contain within us all the potential and goodness we need, that God approves of us as we are, that we only need to learn how to release the love and goodness within us, contribute a great deal to the broken, neurotic lostness of our North American culture. God's estimation of you and me is, and all the rest of the world, is this: there is none righteous, no, not one. When we accept God's evaluation of us, then we can fall relieved at the feet of Jesus Christ to receive forgiveness and healing. Then and only then is there true goodness in us. Any virtue or goodness or potential we might have been born with is as filthy rags compared with the righteousness God gives us. The contrast between the righteousness we try to manufacture and the one God's Son gives us is unbelievable. It can't be earned, learned, deserved, or achieved. We can only receive it as a gift, and no wonder this is called in Hebrews so great a salvation. So great a salvation. Well, that's the first gift that the Lord gives us to any of us who will come to Him, simply fall at His feet and say, I know for sure that I'm in need of a Savior. I just know that. And you come, broken, no answers, just say, Jesus, could you save me? If you would save me, then I give my life to you and my heart to you. And we present ourselves to Him. And so that's what salvation is. It's a very quiet thing, isn't it? You can be sitting in church and you can get saved. You can be driving down the road, you can get saved. All you have to do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's all that God ever requires. You can come as you are, with all, just as you are, and who you are, and the way you are. There's nothing else but to say, I heard that there's free salvation. Yes, there is. And you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? Say, well, like, how could there must be some catch to it? No, there isn't. And I haven't found a catch all these years. All I know is that when people confess to the Lord that they need a Savior, the Savior shows up and saves them. And it's amazing how God can do that. Maybe He sees your heart. I don't know how it all works. All I know, gift number one is the gift of salvation. And we know it's a free gift because there's scores and scores and scores and scores and scores of verses that talk about this gift of righteousness that we, the undeserving, have been received in tenfold. Imagine how simple this is. Is there anyone here tonight that would like to give their heart to Jesus? And if so, I want you to stand, or I want you to raise your hand or indicate in somehow. And how strange. Here we're just a gospel service, and we're listening to the music, and we're singing the songs, and we're hearing this invitation to come and receive Jesus. If anybody would like to be saved tonight, you can be saved tonight. By the way, that's how I still remember them saying something along that very line, that if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, and you'd like to ask Him to come into your heart, tonight is your night. And in simple faith, here I am. Lord, here I am. I want to be saved. I need to be saved. Save me. Please save me. And what happens? That person gets saved. When? Every single time. Every single time that type of individual simply comes with empty-handed, nothing to add to this. We're a liability. And Jesus says, I've died for you, I've given my life. And we come to Him, and He bestows on us the gift of righteousness. And we're justified, just as the Bible says, just as if we've never sinned. I don't know whether that's in the Bible, but that's what, it's just that real. It's just like you're starting afresh. You're clean and pure. How could it be that you go to a gospel meeting full of sin and full of yourself, you put your hand up, or you yield in some way and indicate that you'd like to accept Christ? And how could it be that you go home with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? What a moment, eh? Well, imagine that. And how do we know? Well, is it last? Yeah, well, there are millions, folks. There are millions of people. That's how simple it was. They simply came to a Savior. They knew that their life was broken and that Jesus was the only one who could fix it. And they come. They didn't understand sanctification. They didn't understand soteriology. They didn't understand anything. They just came and said, I think I'm a candidate for someone to save me. I have to get saved. And so we have this fantastic gift. To me, I just marvel that so much could happen in an evening. It's just amazing. Well, I'm looking at Marcel. Didn't you kind of stumble into here? Tell us how it happened. Tell us the story. No, he's a professional. Yeah, do you want to come up? Yeah, come on. I'll give you some of my drink. Time. No, this is a good brother, but most people don't realize that. No, you just tell us, it's good.
I've lived a life that was quite different from the life that I'm living now. I couldn't even come near a church with a feeling of, well, I can plainly call it hate, I think, toward what Christianity, in my simple thinking, has done and is still doing to the world in an oppressive way. I couldn't even take pictures of beautiful churches in Europe. I was filled with hate. And to cut a very long story short, I moved to Canada with my family, and on the day that I moved to Whitley Court here across the parking lot, I drove down Lynn Valley Road, and I felt a strong desire to check out the opening time of this particular church. And I was like hitting almost everybody who was driving and walking on the street because I didn't understand, and I was totally blown away by that feeling alone. So, but I turned around and I came onto the parking lot, walked to the door, and then this was a Saturday afternoon. And then I found out that it was 9 and 12 or 11,
yeah.
That there was a sermon. So I couldn't make it the very next day, and it took me the entire week with a very ambivalent feeling of, you're not going. You're totally not going. And an overwhelming excitement of not being able to wait for the next coming Sunday. So this kept going on and on and on. And I went that very Sunday. And I've been going to church. I came in and I sat right there in where I always sit now. I didn't even dare to come in any further than that. But then it took me till, this was September, and it took me till May to get baptized. Not that that is a very long time, but I didn't believe. I was just captured by the messages, and I filtered all the godly stuff out at first and listened to what the message could mean to me as a non-believer, and it went up from there to well, to where I'm at now, and I can't put my Bible down, and I all I want to do is read and learn more about him and become more and more like him. And
wow.
So I'm very grateful to our Lord that he gave me this opportunity and drew me in.
Wow. Wow, Marcel, thank you. That's just really beautiful. That's my point. This free gift of salvation. Guy opens the door, comes in, sits in the back row, has his life transformed, gets baptized, and now all he wants to do is read his Bible and learn to get to know God better. That's the power of the gospel. That's the very first gift you can receive from the Lord. It doesn't have to be quite that dramatic, right? I love stories like that, so amazing. And there's, you know, he gave us little, I've heard longer parts of it. It's really a deliverance, and God's got his hand on Marcel. There's something, brother, for you. He didn't just save you to get you to heaven. I mean, you're going to heaven, but he didn't save you. There's something for you to do that's very significant. You've got a right heart for it. He really cares about people. And I think you're going to see that in the weeks and months ahead. So, well, so that's the first gift. And you say, well, isn't that it? The gift of salvation. No, because the Bible is very clear on the free gift of the Holy Spirit. There's something else. So there's two free gifts in Scripture. One is this is salvation by grace, and the other is to be filled with the Spirit, so much so that Jesus says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You have to ask. So the free gift of the Spirit. This is really, it's not the goal, it's the gateway. Right? This is not so you can arrive and say, well, now gift of salvation, and now the gift of the Holy Spirit I've received. It's a gateway. It's an entrance into the supernatural. It's the power of God on your life. That's what we're invited to. And apparently, all we have to do is ask. And as I've been giggling over this, I thought, this is too good. It's wonderful enough that there would be the free gift of salvation, which to me, it covers so much, maybe everything in some ways. And then this other free gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us. And I can see that. One, we need justification, and then secondly, we need empowerment. That must be, that is so important. It's not just a matter of having your name written down in the book, but it's of being used of God and the anointing of the Spirit of God on all of us. So it's the gateway. And I've always seen it that way, that it's not, you don't arrive at it, you just keep moving in. And I know even gifts of healing, almost, I think, matter of fact, I think I read this, I think John Wimber said this, that in all of his years of ministry, and thousands of people, right, that he would have ministered to, he said that without exception, those who have been baptized in the Spirit can have the gift of healing. He said there's nobody with the gift of healing who hasn't been baptized in the Spirit, at least in his experience. Something about the being baptized, and it opens doors. Your gifting is released, right? Your gifting is released. The Spirit of God is released, and all kinds of miraculous things happen because it's the Spirit of God coming upon us. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So what do we do? How do we release the Spirit of God? How do we receive Him? If we ask and say, Lord, on the authority of Your Word, I'm simply coming to receive the gift that You said that would be mine simply by asking. And again, just as I had nothing to offer in salvation, now I have nothing to offer in the Spirit thing. I just come again saying, I thank You for canceling out my sin. Now I pray for the fulfillment of the Spirit. That all that there is, that I would be as much as a sinful, saved man can be. Lord, I want this more than anything else. So there's a sacrificing all. Everything that we are, everything, I must give Him all of me. That's the secret. It's not a matter of promising you're going to be good or anything like that, crazy like that. It's just that I'm giving all that I know. And if there's any part of me, that I haven't surrendered, I do it now. And so when we are willing to sacrifice all that we know, and we put ourselves on the altar, we are candidates to receive God's power. And I think it works in a degree like this, is that if you're satisfied with where you are, He'll leave you there. He don't worry about it. He's not going to do anything uncomfortable for you. He'll leave you exactly where you are. And that's the part I can't stand. I don't want that to be. I don't want to be in the same place. And do you want to go deeper? Would you like to be filled with the Spirit? Yes. Because I know the alternative. The alternative is stagnation. I must have all that there is to have, I want. Right? If there's anything else that's in Scripture that one sees, say, is there anything else? I don't know. But I put myself on the altar. And now, this is the thing. Only God knows how deep that is. Right? Nobody else knows. We don't know. I don't know if somebody says, well, I came forward and I stood there. But did you give all? All is? Did you put yourself on the altar? I know some people, they've come forward and given mostly. I know some that have said they would be willing if God called them to some other country. So they said they gave them, they yielded themselves to the Lord and said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you've laid all on the altar. See, God doesn't so much want your sacrifice as he wants you. But he must have all of me. And I think the second that I say, God, I'm really hungry for you. I want more of you in my life. And I'm yielding myself. If there's a part of me that's not yet, then I want it to be now. I'm not signing up for missionary service necessarily. I'm just offering my heart and my life to receive your power. And so that brings us to 1 John. You might want to turn that if you have your Bible with you, but 1 John. So rich as all these verses are. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have towards him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. That's why I'm always hesitant. I believe in altar calls, but I know the limitation. We kind of do our thing because others are going to, if I don't go for it, they're going to think I'm backslidden. So there's all kinds of things that go on. And so therefore, it's not as pure as it could be. But I'll tell you, if you're all alone in your basement and you kneel down and you say, I must have the Holy Spirit, so I'm going to lay all that I have. I'm going to empty myself. Lord, this is just you and me. No one's fooling anybody. I want you. I want your power. And see, because I suppose I could still deceive myself. Surely I'm not feeling myself if I'm all alone. Or if you're on a mountain trail and you just found some lonely spot and you pour out your heart, and you could go back and mark that and say, that's the point where I marked where God filled me with the Holy Spirit. And the reason he filled me, because I met the conditions. And the condition is just simply to open your heart, to ask. So if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests, that we have asked of him. And so you see, your Bible is marked by these type of things where we simply come and we do a transaction. There's the business transaction of Luke chapter 11. And it's confirmed by the verse I just read here, that if we ask anything according to his will. And then it's secured by John chapter 16 and verse 23. You don't need to turn to it, but just make note of it. It's again that this is very, it's not just a casual thing in Scripture, but this thing of asking. Asking. And not being willing, you don't even care about anything anymore. Now it's gone beyond that. I'm fully yours. As much as I know, take me where you want to take me, but I didn't sign up for that, Lord. I signed up to say, I am yours. That's all it is, Lord. I'm yours. So I'm asking. And this is the part where it gets a bit scary, I think, for most of us. I'm asking, Lord, for you to give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking. I offer my whole heart to you. Let me be a spirit-filled man or woman. It's that simple. And yet that profound. If anybody asks, how much more? I can say that to a new Christian, someone who gives their heart to Jesus, right? Say, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Oh yeah, wonderful, wonderful. You know you're saved? Yes, I know I'm saved. Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? No, why don't you ask now? Ask right now. Ask right now, here, right here. Well, he said ask. That's the promise. You can come and you could receive. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to do anything. But you must ask. I can't ask for you. You must ask for yourself. Would you like to ask? And that's the simplicity. This is the, when we say come, come, Holy Spirit. I think the worship team, I think you guys have a song that would really fit into that well. Maybe we'll end on that song in just a moment. But this is the delightfulness of this. And I would ask you, or encourage you, just to ask. It might be tonight. Maybe you're all alone. Everybody else has gone to bed. You find a space on your carpet, and you kneel down and say, Lord, you know my life. I thank you for saving me. Thank you for coming into my heart. But I'm asking for something beyond that. I'm asking for Luke chapter 11. See, I will never, just knowing my own heart, I will never get over Luke chapter 11. There's certain things that just kind of grab me because it's such a profound invitation. Anyone who comes and asks receives regarding the Holy Spirit. So we're going to sing a song. You may want to ask while we're singing. You may wait till tonight. You may wait until the end of the weekend or something. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm just suggesting here. It's what is important. It's you alone with the Lord. That's the important thing here. You to be all alone in your heart, sealing your heart just before God. Say, God, I'm asking. And I know people who've been in their washing dishes in their sink. I know people that were on the edge of their bed. I think of one individual, most of us know that individual, and they were on the edge of their bed, and they looked in the mirror, and they said, well, it's you and me here. They're looking at their reflection in the mirror, and I'm asking you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, sitting there like this, right? And so it didn't seem that anything was happening, except they said, all of a sudden they're uttering little words. What's going on here? And it was, of course, it was the language of the Spirit. And they were just filled, and they were sitting on the edge of their bed. They said, well, did they go through all the... No, there was no rigmaroles. It was just that simple. So, worship team, why don't you guys come? Isn't there a song we just sang? Didn't we sing it this morning? They're afraid they're going to be down in the basement when... Apparently, I called them up another time. So you guys have a song. I just saw it up there, so stand, please. Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Maybe this would be a precursor. This would be something, because we know we're pressing through for the other service, but not yet. Maybe it'd just be an opportunity for you to say in your heart, Lord, my greatest desire is that I would be not just saved and born again, but that I'd be filled with the Spirit. And he'll honor that. He will. He'll honor that. So lead us in a song, and then we'll close the service. I'm just wondering this morning if we should, in the Spirit of the Lord, is in this place.
Yes, Father.
He's in this place this morning.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing how sometimes you sense it, right? Sometimes you don't, but I sense he's here today. He's here. He's here. And I'm thinking next week, the place will be packed, and somebody's going to invite Auntie, someone's going to invite their neighbor, and even if they're just for the chicken, they're going to come. And here's just, I wonder if we shouldn't just ask the Holy Spirit to release in great power in this place. So it's not just a service, but it's a service. And if not, people, it must come from God, right? So maybe several of us just want to just lift your voice and you just pray on our behalf. That this there will be just a great sense of Christ when they walk in that door. We can't do that, but we can pray today. So someone just lead us, and then we'll take another couple. We got some time here this morning, so.
Father God, we declare this is your house, O Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Father.
Yes.
In your presence.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Somebody else. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Praise you. Yes, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Somebody else. Yes. 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 Yeah. On the platform, somebody was starting.
We just declare freedom in this place.
Yes.
We declare freedom, Lord. We just thank you for your presence. We thank you for more. We pray for an increase, Lord.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
For more, Lord.
Yes. Lord, we pray that every seat that's here, every chair that's here, whoever's sitting in it, if they don't know you, I pray great conviction will come. Just their tears would come to their eyes because they would sense it. Lord, we pray that you will come down each aisle. And you'll stretch forth your hand. And you'll draw them to yourself. Oh, God, we pray for Marcel as he preaches Sunday morning. There'd be a great release of the Spirit through his life and heart. Grant him, Lord, the words for to be in season, out of season. But Lord, I just pray he'll have just a sense of it.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And I pray, Lord, if he opens the altar to an altar invitation, that somehow it would be the right words. So, God, we just pour our hearts out this morning to you. Thank you, Lord, for boys and girls that come. And I pray, Lord, they'll see beyond the balloons. It's the reason for it. Lord, it's because you rose from the grave. And if that be true, we don't know what we would, Lord, there's nothing adequately describes what we want. But we pray that people will discover your power and your might.
Yes,
and your eternal salvation.
Yes.
Thank you. Is there one more? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Now, take advantage of this is to invite somebody. Just tell them, hey, there's free chicken burgers or whatever they are. It's not chicken burgers. I haven't got that right. Whatever it is, it's there. And then invite them to come, right? Invite somebody to come. Bring a neighbor. Bring a friend. So we'll have a great, great time. The Lord bless you. Keep you, may his face to shine upon you and give you peace.